started to talk about the design of our wind and solar hybrid array for the roof of the school.
Reading, writing, and converting plastic into oil. The Haynes School adds some modern classes to their science curriculum. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more after this news. A frightening increase in Chilkat Valley house fires has the Haynes Fire Department alarmed.
Pretty much, Haynes has maybe one structure fire every other year, or maybe one a year or something like that, but having two structure fires in 2 weeks is kind of an alarming statistic for us.
Al Badgley is the training officer at the department. Earlier this month, he spent 5 days working with school children and area families in the biggest fire awareness campaign of the year, Fire Prevention Week.
I mean, it could be coincidental, but doing Fire Prevention Month and having two fires in Fire Prevention Month is showing something that either people aren't listening or we're still having some problems out there.
The most recent fire was Sunday night and leveled a home just past 6 Mile on the Haynes Highway. Everyone survived, including animals, but the home was lost.
So the fire department responded with 21 personnel, of which two were pretty much EMS responders to keep track of the firefighters and make sure the rehab went well. We had three pumpers or three engines that actually did water pumping, and we had one tender or tanker that brought water out to the scene. So in all, we had four fire trucks, one ambulance, and one support pickup truck.
Resident Rusty Gooden, who spent 3 years building the cabin, was asleep in it when the fire started late Sunday night. He was awakened by Gus, the big hero in the story. Gus is his dog. Gooden said people in town have been very generous in helping him now that he's lost not only his home, but things like the last family pictures of his grandparents and meaningful family heirlooms. But he's optimistic, saying, "It's Haynes. It'll be okay." He added that he managed to save a couple of particularly valuable items aside from his pets, his generator and chainsaw. Badgley noted the site's distance from town and the structure's lack of sheetrock made the fire particularly challenging.
We want to encourage people to really start looking at the wood stove, because both of these fires seem to involve the wood stove in some aspect. So making sure that you have proper installation, combustibles not too close to the stove itself, and making sure that the chimney is clean, and always have a fire extinguisher available and smoke alarms that will be able to assist you if the fire does happen to go above and beyond the fireplace itself.
The last structure fire in Skagway occurred over the summer. The Skagway Volunteer Fire Department has a training coordinator who conducts fire extinguisher training and school presentations. Both departments welcome questions from the public about fire safety.
People need to be aware of the fact that you start a fire or you do some cooking and people have a tendency of being careless, forgetting about what's going on, not paying attention to what's happening, and mistakes happen. I'm not saying this isn't the case for either one of these fires, but people have a tendency of maybe starting a fire and letting it start to burn, but maybe not really paying attention to it, and the fire might get a little bigger than they want. So make sure you know your wood stove, know how to use it, and make sure you keep an eye on it so fires don't go above and beyond where you want them to.
The Picksweet Company has recalled frozen vegetable products for possible glass contamination. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has confirmed that the recalled product has been distributed in the state. They are great value 12-ounce steamable sweet peas and the same brand and size of mixed vegetables and have the potential to be contaminated by glass shards. More details are at the Food and Drug Administration's website or at the Picksweet Company at 1-800-367-7412 extension 417. The cruise ship's science advisory panel meets at the end of this week in Juneau. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation meets for the third time in sessions about cruise ship layout and space design and information on the quality of potable water ships take on board in port. DEC will also address the U.S. Coast Guard's wastewater treatment system approval process. Rob Edwardson, who began as the DEC cruise ship program manager in September, will be at the meeting. He's a retired Coast Guard officer who's been hazardous materials coordinator and officer in charge of units performing search and rescue, law enforcement, and marine environmental protection. According to state law, DEC established the 11-member Science Advisory Panel in 2009 to evaluate the wastewater treatment options for cruise ships. Its members include representatives from the Coast Guard, the Environmental Protection Agency, the fishing industry, the cruise ship industry, academia, and a marine conservation organization. It included a Haines resident early on. Gershon Cohen, co-sponsor of the Head Tax Initiative, was named to the panel that's intended to be looking at how cruise ships can handle their wastewater. DEC Commissioner Larry Hardig took Cohen off the committee in late January after hearing complaints, some from cruise ship advocates. The panel will advise DEC as it prepares to report the panel's findings to the state legislature. KHNS and the Haynesboro School District partnered to offer two broadcast internships to high school students this semester. Senior Blake Hamilton is one of the students and produced the following news story.
Imagine a class where you would have the chance to build a solar and wind energy array on top of the high school, or create a machine that converts plastic into oil. Well, there is no need to imagine, because a new class has been added to this school year's roster of courses available at Haynes High School. Mr. Fontenot, the high school science teacher, is excited about the course because it has given him the opportunity to design a whole new curriculum that focuses on his strengths as a teacher and as an engineer. An added bonus is he gets to work with some of the brightest minds in the high school.
I'm real excited to have the chance to teach this class and to work with some real motivated, intelligent kids to do something a little more technical than a high school class would usually be able to do. The economic stimulus money approved by the Obama administration included some funds for schools to improve education in technology and science and math. And as a piece of that pie, the superintendent approached me, Michael Beyer, to ask whether I could dream up an engineering-related curriculum, and if so, what that would be. And I thought that my focus would be to make it about energy, basically, particularly alternative energy engineering. So what that means is that we have about a $7,000 chunk to spend on a system that we hope to get on the roof of the school by next spring and generate about a kilowatt of energy, really to demonstrate more than to contribute significantly to the school's energy budget, but to demonstrate that solar and wind power are viable resources and show students that that's something we can do right here.
In addition to the planning for the array on top of the school, the class has gone on field trips to various renewable energy projects around Haynes and Skagway, as well as started an energy audit on the school.
Well, we've got several irons in the fire. We've got a series of field trips planned to different places around our area that have to do with hydro and solar. And there's a couple of good examples of micro hydro residential projects, solar and wind being used, you know, locally to power households. Field trips to AP&T's plant. We had one already to the Goat Lake hydroelectric plant over in Skagway. So there'll be ongoing field trip kinds of things, kind of interspersed with a big project we're doing to audit the school's energy use in a really detailed way. To see where some savings can be made and some improvements can be recommended. So we got all that going on, and we're waiting for some of our equipment to come in and have kind of started to talk about the design of our wind and solar hybrid array for the roof of the school.
Chris Bowman, a high school senior, says that this program is a great way for him to accomplish his technically oriented education goals. One of the projects that Mr. Bowman is excited about is the energy audit that the class is currently doing on the school.
The energy audits, which we've been working on pretty steadily, have been pretty eye-opening for just learning little types of things about the school's energy consumption. So we've been going through room by room and cataloging where all the electricity the Haynes School uses goes. So, for instance, we've been counting light bulbs, been finding the wattage of microwaves and projectors, all that sorts of things. And so the places where the uses of power, the big kind of power draws are really kind of interesting to me, and where power is being wasted as well. Like, for instance, our perennial example is the scoreboard in the gym. Which costs the school about $363 a year to run, even in its standby mode. The skills and things that we'll have to learn to be able to accomplish that are all really interesting to me.
This new class has set formidable goals for itself, but the grade A teaching and teamwork among the students will make sure that this class is 100% successful. Reporting for KHNS, this is Blake Hamilton.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. If you miss a newscast or want to hear one again, check out khns.org and go to the listen page.